Paranormal Investigator Radio.
Streaming in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nikodem, and Dr. Host. David DeGrasse.
I need to give him a plug tonight.
I don't know if you wanted your Bluetooth or not.
Phone lines are now open.
But I guess you
can. In North America, call toll free 1-888-429-5471. International callers, please dial area code 530-763-1594.
What was the number? One.
I don't know.
This is call-in Tuesday.
Are now open. In North America, call toll-free 1-888-429-5471. International callers, please dial area code 530-763-1594.
And welcome to Paranormal Investigator Radio. I am one of your hosts tonight. Mike was going to be one of the hosts tonight, but his mouth is on fire now. My name is Steve.
His mouth is
on fire. Oh, my God. I'm Mike Perillo.
I'm Peter Leonard.
And welcome. We figured we're going to call this tonight Open Line Tuesday. So if anybody out there who's listening would like to hear a topic for tonight, please give us a call at the
1-888-429-5471.
All right.
Or if you have questions to put us to the test.
Please, call.
Well, not really. Don't test us. We don't really know that much. Well, our special guest tonight was going to be Rich, but we're getting some bad news here. It seems like Rich hit a cow or something. So.
Yes.
Or cow hit him.
Let's hope he's doing all right.
Thoughts are with Rich. His car.
I heard his car is not doing so well.
Usually what happens when you hit livestock, but it wasn't his fault.
No.
That is an obstacle in upstate New York when you actually have to worry about livestock. People worry about deers, but there's always those horses and cows. So where are we coming to you live from tonight, Steve?
We are coming live tonight, as every other Tuesday night, live from right here at DePaulo's, right here in downtown Rome, New York. So if you're having a wedding, you need a wedding reception, bridal showers, brunches, parties, rehearsal dinners, retirement parties, family reunions, class reunions, graduation parties, school proms, office parties, and special theme events, it's right here at DePaulo's at 1-315-336-1100. Come on down, speak to Bill. Him and his crew will be happy to help you.
What the freak? They don't do bar mitzvahs? I'm never coming here again.
Well, there you
go. They only do bat mitzvahs.
Bat mitzvahs.
Sounds dreadful. So we don't really have anything tonight. So yes, it is call in night 1-888-429-5471. Paranormal must be creeping up on you. We know that there's probably a lot of people at home. My God, I got Mike choking to death on a new potato. Steve's choking on water.
You're next, Pete.
Your tongue.
You ever do that? Just take a drink and just go right down the wrong pipe. That's what just happened.
That's always best when it's at work and it's dead quiet and you're trying to hold it in from scaring people. And the next thing you know, you knock something off your desk. And it just keeps getting worse from there. So I'm perusing the Facebook sphere. I've been noticing a lot of local groups are posting that their paranormal investigation groups are getting photos from people, from the ghost apps, of people trying to pawn them off as real
ghosties. Like the ones that put images on stuff.
And like the little girl in the hallway.
Yeah. I remember over the summer that was big. You used to get them from hospitals all the time where people would just, you know, what is it? It's like photoshopping them in, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah. It's like a double exposure. Is that a UFO topic we're going
with?
Well, actually, should we not talk about it because of?
Actually, weren't there, am I crazy, or weren't there just weird sightings in California?
Well, actually.
Am I making that up?
I just was looking on the internet here on my wonderful phone, and I snuck my mic all the heck. That I guess that astronaut Scott Kelly and the people up at the ISS, the International Space Station, have been actually taking pictures of UFOs by mistake.
How do you take a picture by mistake?
I don't
know. Like they're not supposed to and they did, or they were just taking pictures?
I guess so when the space station was over India, they were taking some pictures, and they actually caught some UFOs.
You sure that's not from the curry bowl?
Yeah.
Coming to you.
So what do you think of that? I know we have some of our own here in Rome that UFOs that we have seen from time to time.
Those look like something.
Yeah.
But I mean, aren't there lots of satellites and stuff out?
Oh, sure there are.
I mean, obviously the International Space Station would know where a satellite was, but it just seems like it doesn't. It looks like a bar with the two lights on it, which I would immediately assume is some sort of satellite or
some kind of distorted picture of some kind, yeah.
Maybe something moving.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's somebody who's watched a lot of YouTube video footage of things that happen in the outer of the space. I've seen some weird things. The ones that I like, or if you ever YouTube them, are these spaceships that take off from the moon. Now, that sounds absurd, but, well, and you never know what's photoshopped anywhere. That's the problem.
Exactly.
There's a lot of footage out there where you can see large black dots lift off the moon, move over the surface of the moon.
I've never seen those videos.
And,
to be honest with you, I've never seen it.
If they're true, they're actually quite remarkable. If it's not, you know, you can't really write that off as dust or an insect. It's the mm-hmm. freaking moon.
Mm-hmm.
I'd hate to see the size of that insect then. Let me see if I can conjure one up here for you, no pun intended.
A moonsect.
Moon.
Well, isn't that one of the conspiracies?
Now, you're talking about California. It had something to do with missile launches, I believe.
Is that what it was? There were like three streaks of light or smoke or something in the sky.
Depends on. That's the problem. Nobody really knows what's real anymore and what's not real and what's. Let's see. I think interesting. If you've ever seen a UFO, we'd like to hear from you. 1-888-429-5471. I don't hear any calls.
Yeah. No, neither do I. You know, that's the thing. Hello. We used to get a call every once in a while. It'd be nice to have a call. Has anybody checked our website for our...
We also now take emails at... StaySpooky@yahoo.com.
Yes.
Am I correct in that?
Yes.
So if you don't want to call, you can send us an email. Yes. Anything interesting to send us, pictures, stories.
So I recently got cable TV. And yes, I've been perusing
paranormal.
I've been perusing some of the paranormal shows of delight on different networks. And I don't know about you. Let me get your opinion. I think there has been it's been so overdone now. There is so many paranormal shows. I mean, they even have paranormal shows on hunting Bigfoot in Alaska. I mean, this is as far as I'm concerned. I don't know about how you guys feel about it. It's almost gotten out of hand.
They have Animal Planet has a show on like psychic pets, and
there are at least five networks that I can actually count on one hand.
If you know Steve, that's hilarious.
But all kidding aside, you know, at least five networks that I can count that there are paranormal shows on these networks from noon to the time you go to bed at night. And it's absolutely crazy. It is absolutely crazy. Some are good. Some are very well done. And some are so outlandishly stupid. It isn't funny.
I saw this was a couple of years ago. I caught a paranormal show on the Weather Channel.
Was that in between three fat guys in the woods? That is a real show if you haven't seen it.
Three Figures and No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, like the Weather Channel now shows like legitimate TV shows, and they had a paranormal show for a while. I mean, it wasn't affiliated with the weather at all. It was just...
I was going to say, what weather...
During like that big boom where every channel had like a paranormal show.
And like I said, it's still going on because there's at least five networks.
Like the Home and Garden Channel, I think, has them. And yeah, you find them. And they all deal with... Some deal with ghosts, some deal with psychics, some deal with Bigfoot. UFOs. Now actually, UFOs.
They've got these five old guys. No kidding. I kid you not. They're one's called a tracker, one's a survivalist, and I'm sure.
Are they all the guys with beards?
Yes.
And one of their, like, and when they when they pop up their names with their job title, one of them's like security.
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yes, and the guy with the security background is every time he hears a Bigfoot, I swear to God, he's fallen over himself and he shot in the air. The point is
they look like five mountain men.
Yes.
They all have beards, guns, and they just
wander
around.
One's got like a tooth in his beard, and I'm sitting there going, really?
Yeah, they wander.
And it's so I don't know if it's a comedy show or if it's
I couldn't figure. I watched about 10 minutes of it and couldn't figure. Figure out if it was
I'm sitting there going, okay, click. You know, and I don't know. I just think the whole television aspect is being overdone. It is.
Well, I mean, obviously there's still a market for it if these shows keep. I mean, none of them last.
No,
but
they will if they would finally pull the trigger and pick R.I.P. for these projects. How many do we have to go through? Just pick the best.
Well, no one's picked the best.
1-888-524-2571-80.
You work with the rest, now work with the best.
Absolutely. And again, if you have any topics anybody listening would like to hear on our show, please give us a call or our Facebook page at
web our email.
Our email at
stayspooky@yahoo.com.
Excellent.
1-888-429-5471. Well, having been involved with, since we didn't sign anything, I don't really care. Having been involved in two projects, I know of at least two more paranormal shows coming out.
Yes.
That will probably most likely suck and not make it past the season because you didn't pick us.
That's right.
Especially the one on sleep paralysis.
Oh, yeah, that was...
Well, the problem is... I guess, like, from the shows, and I'll be honest with you, since I joined this group, I used to watch all those shows. Since I joined this group, I don't watch any of them.
I used to watch, like you, Mike, I watched a lot of these shows. Since I joined the group, I have quit most of them. There's one, with the exception of one show that I continue to watch, and because it's a pretty good show.
Punky Brewster.
Shh. You're not like supposed
I watch like ghost stuff. I stay away from and big. I watch like I'm still in the UFO show. I like all the UFO shows.
You know, and I shouldn't say this and give this show a plug, but I enjoy a show called A Haunting.
I've never even heard of it.
That is a good show. I think it's on the.
I enjoy Factor Fate.
Factor Fate was decent. But as far as is
Josh Gates has appeal because I am a closet archaeologist.
Yeah.
But that's really not close to the paranormal. That's
no, that's like the show like Mysteries at the Museum is a great show, but do you really classify it as a paranormal show?
No. And it is a good show, by the way. I watch it from time to time.
Yeah, but I'm with you with the Bigfoot. Those seem to have died off pretty quick off TV.
Yeah. The main group there is still on there.
Is that show Finding Bigfoot still on?
Is that the one with the girl and the...
Yes.
Yeah, I think that show's still... But I think the problem is it's fine. And the problem is finding a group that's, I guess, at both entertaining yet credible enough to investigate the paranormal. Because you have these groups, like... I don't know. Can we mention other shows and like Ghost Hunters? Ghost Hunters are good at their job because they debunk everything. They don't find anything, but they're not really personality savvy.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Saying.
Like they get in there, they get the job done, and they're perfect for that. But they're not.
I once read where they said they are the living embodiment of Ghostbusters. It's the scientific team that comes in,
and they're good at that. And to be honest with you, like, I know they've had a lot of problems with fans complaining you don't find anything. But I'd sit through seasons of stuff as long as they legitimately debunk everything. I think that's fantastic. But they seem to lack charisma, maybe? I don't know. Like, the interactions...
We're spoiled coming from upstate New York, where we're a friendly kind of kid.
Yeah.
So it's a different...
And it seems a lot of the groups, either they're too crazy, so they're that gimmicky, like Deep South Paranormal. Was gimmicky enough to make it entertaining for at least a season. But, like, how long can you run with the gimmick?
You know, I understand when they made the big separation, no more paranormal, no more hillbillies. You've even seen with, like, the Robertsons, that just tanked very fast. They're cute for a season.
That's what I, yeah, they're, like I said, they're,
all right, you're redneck, we're redneck.
They're gimmicky, and it's kind of like, all right, you sold a season, and then I think people... Because they can't. That's why I think none of these groups last. They keep trying, but they have yet to find the perfect balance between personalities and, you know what I mean? Like, you out in Ghost Hunters is like all about this. And, like, I guess Ghost Adventures
is wrestling. The WWE.
Yeah. They got personal. I mean, that's the closest I got, which is probably why I'm pretty sure that's the most popular one out there now. Because, I mean, they at least have some sort of personality out. They're characters, I guess. I guess you really need to find someone almost like a half fictional show where you almost...
And like Steve had said, I think that's the reason why, like, The Haunting and those other story shows endure, because they can film what needs to be filmed, the entertainment aspect of the paranormal.
Yeah.
They know how to capture your fear and make it scary to you.
Yes.
Where reality TV is just that. Okay, they're sitting in a dark room.
Well, like, that's before.
When is so-and-so going to scream because nothing's there, but it's...
Before I joined this group, like I said, I used to watch all the shows. And on, like, shows like the Travel Channel, they'd show, like, you know, haunted places in England. And they would do, like, dramatic reenactments or stuff like that. And it was almost scarier to watch. And more interesting when they did the dramatic reenactments of a haunting, as opposed to, like you said, a guy just in a room yelling for something not there to tell him his name.
And the same holds true even with groups that are out there. Let's ignore television for a while. Like, right now there's a fairly popular investigator out there who's already trying to contact the dead from the French terrorist attack.
Mm-hmm.
Who's also one of these people who sensationalized, who said he talked to celebrities after they died. And they have thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of people who follow them. And it's like,
yeah.
What? And then the hardcore paranormal teams get all pissed off, and they're like, do you not understand the field you're in? I mean, I shouldn't admit this on the radio, but, you know, we use a little of the entertainment when we're doing fundraising, because nobody wants to sit there and listen to you lecture and put them to sleep. They want to be captivated.
They want to be entertained.
We were attacked about a month ago by another group claiming, you know, you guys don't ever put evidence out there. You don't ever show this. It's like, we do. We show it at presentations. We don't have that much.
It's like,
you shouldn't have that much.
That's right.
That is
yeah.
The game. What we have is because we can't figure out what we have. It's not to say it's
yeah, it's not
have
to say,
an explanation.
Not to say it's
we
a ghost.
We just don't
or,
know
mm-hmm,
what it is. Just, but these groups get popularity, and they get followed by like-minded people who, oh my God, look at that. I see the ghost. It's a little kid. It's like, I don't even see anything in your picture, let alone seeing
I think what it is they want to see something so bad. You're on an investigation. And you know, when you're on an investigation, you don't necessarily want to, you know, admit to it that, you know, doing an investigation is kind of boring.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to, it's not TV. As I tell, when I was case manager, I used to tell the people that call, we could sit in a room all night, in a dark room, all by ourselves or with somebody, and get absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing, nothing, nothing. That's why when you're a, you take this serious, and when you get something, you get all excited because it doesn't happen all the time.
It validates the four cases
you did before. And like Pete said, you shouldn't have tons and tons. Unless you've been doing this for 50 years. If you've been doing this for 50 years, you should have a good amount of evidence. But if you've been doing it for a year or two or 10, your amount of evidence, I don't want to say true evidence, but your evidence that you could go, what the heck is that? Could that be something? People just sit there, especially when you do a public event. You sit there and people want to see something because they're there one night real quick, couple hours, that's it. They go home. They want to see something so bad, they're going to see anything and everything and nothing.
And we've heard it before. It's like, oh my God, you're showing the same thing we've seen 5 years ago. It's like, yes, that was what we call a holy shit moment.
Yes.
That is something that happened, we caught, and we can't explain. That is what we do. I don't show you pictures of dust. I don't show you pictures of little children that don't have pictures of little children. And
yes.
I mean, I don't. And we've actually, as a team, like in the past couple of months, I know Mike has been talking about this. We've been talking about totally abandoning the DVR system and all these cameras because we just don't get crap on camera.
Nope.
It's always audio.
Yes.
Or interactive, like the K2 meters, L meters.
Yep.
And cameras are good for stuff like that, but you don't need that frickin' DVR rig for that.
That's it.
We have some good video footage. I think we have two or three clips that are incredible, and we show them.
But out of all those years, just face it, out of all those years and all those DVR moments, you collect two or three
things. We have one DVR,
okay,
and it's the one from the Naval Yard, right? That's our only actual...
We have Woodgate where the owner's being pushed, but that's...
But that can be done with a handy cam. That can be done with a small camera.
So, yes, the Buffalo Naval Yard, we set up a camera.
Yes.
It was all by itself.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the shadow come up the stairwell and take the camera out.
Yep.
And it's...
I think that was our best.
I don't want to say clear as day, but when you slow it down, you can certainly...
Yep.
See something move by the camera.
Yeah.
And it wasn't human.
No.
And
that,
it must have been a big mosquito, but...
That was because like we say in our when we show that clip on during one of our events, that those doors by themselves are like 200-300 pounds, and they're latched from behind, and you got to push in, and then reach
unhook
your arm
it,
around
yeah.
and unhook it, and you know that was very peculiar.
But you know I understand both points of that argument. It's like, well, you're going there to document it. It's a major piece of documenting. When you have to carry that 400-pound Pelican case with 16 cameras up three flights of stairs, weekend after weekend after weekend, you talk to me about wanting the DVR system.
And it's not even just the case, because we lug that thing full of the cameras and the DVR, and then we have to bring a whole tote of extension cords.
Tripods, everything.
Plug strips there, power strip.
It becomes.
Then you're out of time because you got to go through and tape all the wires down.
Yes.
You got to make sure people aren't tripping over.
And by the time you do all that,
it
that
just
cuts down on.
As far as I'm
concerned, is by the time you do all that, it's taken away from valuable time where you could be investigating.
It just seems that you spend almost more time setting stuff up than you do.
And you can get. As far as I'm concerned, I don't know about how you guys feel, but you can get as much with a handy cam or a good digital camera. You could either hold or you could mount someplace. Than you can with the just as much as you can with the.
You can get more because our DVR doesn't have audio capabilities.
And you're sitting there.
I'm sure there's DVRs that do.
How many times? And I know for a fact there's one, and I can't remember which one it is. I don't know if you can, Pete or Mike, but we've actually caught evidence on one of our handheld cameras. Not only did we catch the voice from the camera, but the same voice from the audio recorder.
Yeah. Yeah,
I can't remember
what investigation that was. It was a Hulbert House investigation.
So it was like when you do that, it's like a double event type of thing.
Two different audio recorders and video.
The picture we got at our controversial picture from Fort Stanwix was taken on a handy cam.
Yeah.
You did get the door opening a few months ago. That'll be making its way into presentations.
I think if we all can get a good handheld 1080p handheld cameras in conjunction with our other cameras we have, I think we'll be doing fine.
Plus, I think the big advantage of having a more portable camera system is to be able to move them on the spot. You know what I mean? If it's like, okay, we set a camera up in this room and we get nothing, I'm like, but the room next door suddenly has a burst of activity.
Yeah.
Well, now with the DVR, you know, when you got to pull the wire up, and with a portable one, you just pick it up, boom, new camera.
Yeah.
Well, like we entertained maybe going to Waverly at some point this year. That's where I would bring a DVR system because the place is so big. You can blanket an area you have no intention of going into, setting 16 cameras up and then just recording while you're in another part of the building doing something completely different,
and the other,
hoping you catch something residual.
The other downside of our DVR system is you're limited in how far you can go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you can get longer wires. Do you really want to run on? But we only have 50 and 100-foot wires, so, I mean, we can set up 16 cameras, but they're all going to be...
within 150 or 100 feet of each of the system itself, yeah. I think we shouldn't get rid of the DVR system altogether. I think it has its place, but for most investigations,
I'll rifle that thing out the window.
But for most investigations, I think handhelds.
All investigations.
I think handhelds will be great.
Like
I say, get some 1080p cameras in conjunction with what we already have, and just blanket it with them, and we'll be good to go.
I can't remember. Did you make it to the Hopper with us this year?
No.
Okay, because Michelle had a GoPro with her. This big.
Yep.
And she got the little girl on there on audio.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See?
So, I mean,
now the little
like
girl, the same little girl that we caught before?
I can't hear the clip. It saves it in some format that I can't open. As soon as she can get that to us in a playable video.
Okay. All right.
But I would say yes, because that voice was coming over the spirit box again. And Steve, where are we coming to you live from tonight?
We're coming to you live from DePaulo's right here in downtown Rome, New York, right here on Black River Boulevard.
West Dominic
Street. See, you know what? I live right here, too. West Dominic Street, Rome, New York. So if you want a party, you have a party plan, anything, bar mitzvah, we'll throw that in. Contact Bill, his group. He'll be glad to help you with any party plans that you have at, that's area code 315-336-1100. Tell Bill Steve sent you. He'll fix you right up.
For a spit-swapping good time, come to DePaulo's.
That's right.
Phone lines are now open. In North America, call toll-free 1-888-429-5471. International callers, please dial area code 530-763-1594.
Now, I just wanted to point out that we've been saying it for a while, but at some point in December, the new Paranormal Investigator Radio is going to debut. Whole new lineup, more structured format. We're going to start getting call-in guests. We're already working on a list of people. If you have a team out there and you want to feature yourself, call us up. Even tonight, you're out there. You want to promote your team? Call on up. We don't believe in paranormal unity, but we'll talk to you.
Absolutely.
1-888-429-5471. We embrace individuality, not unity.
Do we have a phone number for them to call us at... So that we can feature them on the...
It'll be on the website. Do you have a phone number?
No, I don't have a phone number. I mean, we could get
Dear
one.
Dear God, we should probably get one.
You know, it would help because how are they going to contact us?
Like a legitimate rip.
We're going to get the track phone.
So you could either... we'll give you that phone number when we get it. Or you can right now, if you want to be featured on our program, you can contact us at...
StaySpooky@yahoo.com.
All right.
We'll dive into some more interesting and in-depth topics.
Yeah, I'm interested.
We want some different things to go on. Now, damn it all, the hell on a bucket and basket of buttons. We're going to talk about Hitler and the occult one of them nights.
That sounds good.
Why? Because I want to.
That's right.
There was just, and this has very little to do with the paranormal conspiracy theory. There was a new show on the History Channel or something where they were reinvestigating the Kennedy assassination.
I was watching.
Did you see that? At least from this show's perspective, the bullet that killed him was actually fired by a Secret Service guy
in the back,
in the car behind him.
Yeah.
When Oswald fired his first shot, the Secret Service guy picked up his rifle and accidentally went off and shot Kennedy in the back of the head.
He took the safety off the AR-15, and what happened was, I guess the car jolted backwards.
And he accidentally fired, and that's the shot that killed Kennedy.
Yeah.
That honestly makes sense.
That was the point. That's what the show brought up.
In all honesty.
The cover up and sealing the records.
Yes. That you know what? I was thinking that when I seen that. And I thought, you know, that kind of makes sense. That makes more sense than the guy in the front of the grassy knoll. That makes more sense than that idiot Oswald, you know, who wasn't, by the way, a marksman.
I thought he was.
He wasn't a sharpshooter. He was a marksman or something. But the world's greatest marksman at firing this particular rifle, the Mannlicher Carcano, is that what it was? The Italian rifle. And warmed up because they took some practice shots, couldn't hit that shot. You're telling me somebody cold, boom, boom. I mean, don't get me wrong. You could get lucky. Anybody can get lucky, but.
Well, he missed his first shot.
Yeah.
That's when it hits Kennedy and you see him kind of jerk.
Yep.
And then he stands up and that's when he gets shot in the head.
Well, no, he gets shot in the throat first.
Okay.
One bullet hit off a curb and hit a piece of that fragment hit off of Kennedy. And according to the show, Kennedy said, "Oh God, they're going to kill us all." And the next shot hit Kennedy in the throat. That's when you see him grabbing his throat.
Well, the governor got hit with one of them, too. Didn't
that's the throat shot.
That's the way it went through his throat, through the seat of the car.
That's the magic
bullet
theory.
Popped him in the leg, the
magic. And they're actually finding out that the magic bullet theory could actually happen.
That was on Mythbusters.
Yep.
Using ballistic jelly, they proved they could hold up.
Yes.
Years
and the last shot, the one that shot up Kennedy in the head.
The one that went through his head.
Was actually the Secret Service agent.
The guy behind him.
And it's funny because this program, particular program, the guy from Australia, the detective from Australia, actually the program tried to get a hold of this guy, and he even threatened to sue them over this, he wanted to keep his name out. But, you know, in all honesty, if I'm that particular Secret Service agent, knowing that it was my shot that accidentally killed the President of the United States, I would want to find a hole and bury myself in it, too, to be honest with you, and not making light of the situation.
I guess that's
but
the greatest fudge moment in history. Right?
I
think your facts are a little misconstrued there, because Kennedy was rushed to a hospital where he underwent racial reconstruction surgery.
Oh.
Spent the rest of his life in a nursing home as an elderly black guy.
Oh, okay.
And then died fighting an ancient mummy.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're referencing Bubba Hotep. If you haven't seen Bubba Hotep, watch. Damn, what's his name there?
Ossie Davis.
The big guy.
Bruce Campbell.
Bruce Campbell was in it.
Oh, okay.
Campbell thinks he's Elvis. No. Ossie Davis thinks he's John F. Kennedy, and they fight an ancient mummy that's killing senior citizens. Fantastic movie.
No, I haven't seen it.
I got him, Mr. President.
That
guy who thought he was the Lone Ranger.
I take it you didn't see the show.
Which one?
The Kennedy
show. No. There was an interesting photo floating around on Facebook, speaking of Kennedy, and I was thinking of the time-traveling lady that's in the one picture.
Oh, the babushka lady?
There's the one floating around on Facebook now. It's like, of course Hitler was mad as a kid. He was upset with all them time-travelers trying to kill him.
Yeah.
Have you actually seen, and I'm sure we talked about this before, maybe not, but have you ever seen those videos where back in the 40s where these people said they were time travelers and they actually were talking on cell phones, time travelers. They're pretty interesting videos, but I don't know what they're doing. But I think you and I talked about this before. And it actually from the 40s, looks like these people are actually walking by talking on cell phones is very interesting.
Well, that actually was one of the reports of they always had of the Men in Black. The Men in Black always showed up with high-tech stuff that mm-hmm. would sound a lot like cell phones or stuff like that, that they had a higher... Of course, I guess they would have alien technology rather mm-hmm. than... Mm-hmm. Xenotech rather than future tech.
Right. But, yeah. It
Barack Obama time traveler.
Yeah.
You can find anything on the YouTubes.
Oh, absolutely. So what do you guys think about Central New York and some of its supposedly paranormal sites? Have you bothered to look this up, like the Union Station in downtown Utica? You know it's supposed to be haunted?
I'm actually currently reading a book that I borrowed from Nicole on Ghost of New York State. And it's pretty much each spot's only got, mm-hmm. you know, a couple pages, maybe a page. Mm-hmm. And I'm still early on in the book. I'm still in a part dealing with haunted houses. And all they're doing is this guy traveled New York State collecting. Mm-hmm. And it would literally be like, oh, these people live in a house. Like, one of the first ones I read happened right in, Jesus. Right, yeah, happened in Jesus. So, Canastota.
Right.
One of the houses in there. And there are all these just little towns around New York, and everyone's got a haunted house. So, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, there's been people here for 1600s, right? Well, Europeans since the 1600s, right? Not farther, but
Michael. Six documented visit of a white man into the Mohawk Valley. His name was Samuel de Champlain. 1609, they engaged at the Battle of Nichols Pond, which he went against the United Indians.
Where was Nichols Pond?
Nobody knows.
Oh, really?
They've been searching for that for a while in New York now. There's actually active archaeology digs trying to find out where Nichols Pond was. They believe it's someplace out near Fabius now. I didn't know. Nowhere near Oneida Lake, but there is the rich indigenous peoples thing. But yes, it was pretty much the British, the Dutch, and the French were all here right around 1602-ish.
Oh, so early 1600s.
No real major settlements. Fort Orange was the first one. That was the Dutch settlement, which would become Albany. That was like 1642. That's why, like, that time when we were at the Hubbard House and that guy was answering questions, I was here in the 1600s, it's like, you're old. You're like one of the first that are actually mm-hmm. in pre-documented white people territory. That's like... Mm-hmm. But those books really pretty much just save your money. They pretty much just hash everything that's on the internet. You can look them things up. You mentioned the Utica train station. That was actually the mm-hmm. original Grand Central Station in New York City. They dismantled mm-hmm. it piece by piece and then brought it up here.
That's why it looks like it does.
Well, like it's been fact, but according to the article I've seen, there's been, I guess, a lot of train accidents there. And I guess a lot of people see ghostly lights speeding along the track as well as ghostly conductors and passengers. So... You know, anything with a train station, the old train stations that are great.
That of all the places in the world, they could have put Grand Central Station. They dropped it in Utica.
Well, Utica was actually a very booming town at one point. They were expecting it to be like 500,000 in population, but that we showed them.
Yeah.
Weren't you telling me Utica ended up being a bigger city than us because Rome was originally supposed to be the huge city, but the Romans didn't want it? Like when they built the canal or whatever?
When they built the Erie Canal, the first version of the Erie Canal bypassed what at that time was the industrial part of Rome, the downtown part of Rome, skirted the outer limits, sort of like where the prison is now, out that way, which is a good 2 miles from the city center. But when they got towards Utica and the elevation, it went right through the heart of the downtown settlement of Utica. So that was right in the mm-hmm. the main business district. So... From about 1820 to 1840, they saw major commerce because that was center
city. Everybody went to their downtown.
Then when they redug the Erie Canal, made it bigger, wider, and deeper, that's when they threw it right through downtown Rome. So that's why Rome was always a little bit behind mm-hmm. Utica. And then at the same time, concurrently, they were digging the Black River Canal down from Boonville, which terminated into the Erie Canal at Rome. Hence Black River Boulevard. That's what that intersection
so that,
represents.
That, so the Black... The, was there an actual Black River at one point?
Did there still there? Is, yeah.
It runs under the boulevard, right? It's, or not?
The river's up in Boonville. I think that just feeds the canal and portions of the Mohawk did and they, all that still.
Now, did they fill that in like they did with the canal when they covered it over, or is that?
The Black River.
Yeah.
No, that's still active up there.
No, no, where it ran into Rome.
Oh, yes.
They
yes.
filled that in with garbage, too.
Part of it's under the dam. Part of it's under Lake Delta. There's one part of Lake Delta there. If you go there, you can still see a few locks from the Black River Canal.
But oh, yeah, yeah. We used to, that big mass of that was the Black. Okay.
And that was able to, they were able to send stuff up north from Rome to like West Leiden and Watertown and all that way. Different route, less population, but that was a quicker route to Canada, obviously, if you got it up to Watertown, and they could go into the St. Lawrence district there.
It's funny how fast this stuff was, like, built, used, and then abandoned. You know, like...
Well, gave way to the rails. That was...
That's true. I guess once you created the train, you didn't really need...
But, you know, we look at today, how far technology has gone. We should still be using the canal. If you have businesses in New York, there's no reason why we shouldn't be shipping things from the city throughout the state via the canal. It's still the cheapest mode of transportation. I understand trucking as trucking, and they use trains to some extent, but you can put so much on a barge as compared to a train car that I don't understand.
Yeah. Or even a big rig truck. I mean, if you compare the size of a barge to the truck, you can easily move probably four times, you know what I mean? Four times what you could load on a truck. To.
And it's free. Well, it's not really free, but I'm sure you can get more bang for your buck powering a boat than you do from gas-guzzling trucks. And,
oh, sure. I think so.
There's a lot of interesting... tying this in for Steve here. A lot of interesting Erie Canal spooky stories. Because, I mean, it was hard work. I mean, those were the
got
factory warehouse guys.
Her name is Sal.
You know, they did a lot of hard work. A lot of them would drink on the boats, fall in the canal, drown. And you're talking the canal at most points. It's not even 6 feet deep. So, I mean, it was a very shallow canal, the original.
Right.
Erie Canal. It wasn't until the barge canal. I don't know what the barge is. I think the barge is like 14, 20 feet deep.
Where it runs past the village there, that's part of the original canal, isn't it? Yeah, I had a buddy who worked there for a summer, and in the colonial the garb, he was on the boat and he got a heat stroke and he fell off in the canal. but yeah, he could stand up in it. It wasn't over his head when he stood up.
And as you're coming into the city at the bottom of the bridge there where it says Clinton's Ditch, that was the original canal. You can still see some of that cut. And that's where you can see how far out of town that is. That's past the railroad tracks going towards the prison there. Like I've been doing Civil War research forever there, trying to get this book done on the Rome Regiment. Honest leaders, actually three or four of them that actually died as canal people. They were partying, fell off a lock, or broke their head on something, or fell in and drowned. I mean, you multiply that out over an 80, 90-year period, I mean, now does their energy get consumed by the water? Does water hold on to death?
That's odd, because there's the all the theories, I guess, on the water's a good conduit for energy. So would it come down to, would it stay where you died, or would it move and... No, I mean, if the water's moving, would your energy merge with it and just flow with it, or would your? It's an interesting.
Yeah, I would hate to think that if I died in the barge or in the Pacific Ocean or where have you, that instead of moving on, I'm floating around in the water for eternity. I don't find that very
just stuck appealing. At like the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, I don't find that very appealing at all.
Talking to fish.
No.
Titanic.
Trying to scare fish.
Titanic. What all those fish. Souls, you know? That would, the Titanic.
Oh, I just read a thing on, Edmund Fitzgerald.
Edmund Fitzgerald.
I read an article bringing that back up, how with all the shipwrecks, that was the most famous one. And
they still don't know what brought her down?
Yeah, that was the thing. They don't know what. And I didn't realize how deep it was. It was in like 500 feet of water or something.
Oh, yeah. The Great Lakes are vast, yeah.
Lake Erie is a major problem. I was watching videos actually a couple nights ago. A kid was posting from Dunkirk. They were showing the waves that were slapping up against the lighthouse out there. And it's,
Well,
looked like a hurricane. You're like, oh, my God.
Well, that's
great. You know, you think of a lake. You think of a lake like Oneida Lake here. But, no, have you ever you have, I'm sure, when you went to Vegas, you actually, last time we flew right on the shore of one of the Great Lakes going into Chicago. And that thing was, even from a plane, you couldn't see from one side to the other. It's that
well, they're the
vast.
I mean, they are the biggest freshwater lakes in the world.
Yes. Absolutely huge.
And they're like, I think Superior goes to 800, 1,000 feet deep, which is just, like you said, around here we've got Oneida Lake, and Oneida Lake maxes out at, what, 50 feet?
Yeah.
Erie and Superior are famous for shipwrecks, though, aren't they?
Yes.
Like, I mean, hundreds of years of known
shipwrecks. Yeah, no, ships have gone. See, and like the Edmund Fitzgerald, I didn't think was that deep because one of the theories was it crested a wave, and as it came down, it actually slammed the bottom of the thing and snapped in half because it's laying down there in two separate pieces.
Yep.
But 500 feet of water, that's a hell of a wave and a hell of a...
It's a hell of a drop, Let me tell you.
I love that song. But
funny thing, the first time I ever heard of the Edmund Fitzgerald... these are weird things. This is back in the 90s when I first started selling on eBay. Went to a local auction. There was a box of postcards. And sitting on top were some postcards from Detroit. And I'm thumbing through and I'm like, man, holy crap, there's the Edmund Fitzgerald. He's like, bid on the box, bid on the... We bid on the box. I ended up selling that postcard for like $300. Everybody in there was laughing at us. Like, what the hell are you buying that crap for? There's nothing in there worth money. And it's like... I always wished I'd kept it just for the hell of saving it.
Hindsight is better than, you know,
When we were in Dunkirk, and I always used to, you guys had all everything, and I wandered over and I smoked by the picnic tables all the time. They had a...
The map, yeah.
They had a map. They had like this little wooden thing, and on each side of it was a map of each Great Lake, and it had where shipwrecks were marked on them, and they were covered... with just tons and tons of shipwreck, like boggled the mind how many shipwrecks have wrecked on, going all the way back to when people first started. And there are stories, you know, stories of like treasure ships and all this. It's amazing.
We got to go looking for the button treasure in Oneida Lake. You know about this one, Steve?
No, I don't.
This just shows even local historian... P.L. Leonard doesn't know everything. Now you think of Oneida Lake, like Mike is saying, I guess Oneida Lake is incredibly deep at some points there.
Well, it's shallow overall, but I think there's spots in it, like, you know, the hole that, like, nobody found the bottom of.
There was a Frenchman, this was in the mid-1700s, was traveling down Oneida Lake to... whatever their thing was.
Wherever the French went in the 1700s.
I still have to research the story. I don't know what the destination was, like if they were going to Albany or whatever their trek was. But he was a world-renowned button collector. And I guess he had a collection of buttons that he used to carry in a wooden box. At that time, it was worth like $1 million. And he was saying something to somebody on the ship that he was with. He's like, I love my button collection more than my wife. And his wife heard him. She went and grabbed the box of buttons and threw it in the lake. So I guess for years, divers have been diving in Oneida Lake trying to find this box of buttons, which they figure is worth several billion now if you could ever pull this collection up.
And if you did find it...
It's never been found.
And if you did find it, how would you authenticate it? That it's this box. I mean, any schmuck can get a box full of buttons.
How many boxes of buttons do you think are in the bottom of the lake? Oh, there's one. Oh, wait, there's another one. Oh, wait, and an
animal. You never know. There could be.
If you find a box of buttons from the 1700, there could because be, you said some of them went back to Roman times, yeah, right? Some of them
there could be ancient goofballs and just put buttons in there and put them in a box and throw them in. But, you know, yeah, if they're see, old, I would suppose, you know.
They're not like the little plastic things. I know that's what you
yeah,
mean.
Yeah.
Like they'd said some of them went back to ancient Rome. Yeah. So maybe these things were owned by Caesar.
Now,
or
were these made of valuable metals?
Precious metals? Oh, yeah, probably.
Mother of pearl, all that kind
mm-hmm,
of
mm-hmm.
wealthy. You know, here's the button of Pierre de Lusignan, grandmaster of the temple and stuff. I don't know. But like I said, just goes to show that P.L. Leonard, local historian.
Now, when you told us that, how did this story come to you? Just out of curiosity.
Every now and then I actually search out the internet, which they say is physically impossible. I've done it at least 42 times. I was looking for Fort Stanwix relics. That was my search term in Google. And that came up on a treasure hunting website. And it wasn't just one person talking about it. It had like 120 comments where people were going back and forth telling a little more than the next person about this. Mm-hmm. But nobody could cite a source. But they kept recanting the story. So if one person knows the story in Illinois and someone in California knows it, there has to be a main source to
there's
that.
There's got to be a source of it somewhere.
I mean, like Rome is home to the buried British gold along the Mohawk River that's worth a few billion if you could ever find the treasure chest of it.
Mm-hmm.
But they stash it
here. I've thought about it, but somewhere. You have to take into effect, what do they call that, hydrodynamics?
Mm-hmm.
Where the river would have been
200 years ago.
About 200 years ago.
Yeah, that wouldn't be hard to do, though.
Now with ground-penetrating radar, I mean.
Just modern science, you know what I mean? You just look at a map from back then and a map from today. And
because it was buried along the banks of the river. But then it depends which side was it buried on. Was it buried on the side that eventually got consumed by the river? It's probably long gone. Mm-hmm. But if it wasn't,
I don't know.
You know what I mean? If it's on the other side of where the river mm-hmm. creeping away from. Because rivers meander as they mature, they meander.
I don't know. It's obviously what would it have been in bars or coins?
Coin. Would have all been coin.
So it might be on the bottom of the Mohawk, is what you're telling me.
Which is a very turbulent river. Which, again, if any of that got caught up in the current, that's probably in the ocean long since.
No, I don't think it would have made it that far. Well, where's the first deep spot the Mohawk empties into?
It don't matter. The Mighty Mo is.
Yep.
No, but wherever the first deep spot is, it probably would have deposited it all right there.
Behind my childhood house, there was a whirlpool. We don't know how deep it was.
Really?
It never failed. Every effing year, these stupid kids would come down on the tubes. Every year you'd have to call the fire department to have them rescued. They'd get stuck in that whirlpool. They're hanging on to the tree limb for dear life. It's trying to pull them under. It's like, didn't you learn last year? Didn't you learn when your stupid inbred brother did the same thing? Here, send the next generation down.
So instead of, I would have just went in and cut the limb off. That way there's nothing to grab onto.
Well, eventually it just ate the tree into the...
Oh, did it really?
The whirlpool there.
That's where the gold is.
Sure.
Maybe it's an alternate universe.
Never know.
Kind of like what happens to the people that get trapped in the Bermuda Triangle.
It depends.
They become Bermudans?
They become Bermudans.
Is that where Bermuda onions come from?
I think so.
People get trapped in Bermuda Triangle, spend the rest of their life loving every day of it, just sitting on the beach drinking pina coladas.
Yeah, and watching girls in bikinis.
Listening to Jimmy Buffett.
That must be the life.
Still got the time traveler thing. I'm trying to remember what it was, because it was about a couple months ago. A guy actually said he was from the future. I don't remember how far he said he... was in the future, came back to warn us about something.
Didn't we actually, I don't know if this is what you're talking about, didn't we actually, during one of our events, have a supposed somebody from the future or the past or whatever it was at one of our events?
Knows that
you
word.
Know the weird thing about that person? In my train of thought, I kind of think that was me coming back to warn us from the future.
Well, Pete, that was what it was didn't in look my like mind. You. Like, it didn't look like you.
Well, we only have a few minutes, but let me get Mike in on this. I know we've been having these talks about the paranormal dreams. I've been having them nonstop lately, and the other night I had a visitation dream with Dad, and while talking to him, this lady came up to me and says, "Here, you need to eat this." And as soon as I put it in my mouth, I woke up. I slammed out of the dream right into my body again. I'm like, "Son of a bitch."
Do you know what
every
it was?
Every time I open a door, pee, look in the mirror, water, there I am. I'm out.
Do you know what it was she gave you?
No. But you talk about symbolic and timing. It's like, that's really all I remember in the dream. Here, eat this. Like, oh, time for you to go eat the soap. Boop.
Eat the go-back home stew.
Like that episode of Family Guy where Peter kept dying and having death bring him back from the dead. Or no, it was when he kept having to go back to 1980, whatever it was, to win Lois over. He's like, oh, screwed up. Death.
But just, I find that weird. And if anybody out there, please let me know. If you have these dreams where you're visiting with deceased relatives and you leave these areas through elevator, stairs, trains, food, water, anything. Let me know. I'm interested.
And how can they get a hold of us to let us know?
StaySpooky@yahoo.com.
All right. Since we got a couple minutes left, gentlemen, anything that the group is doing? Are we officially on our slow period?
Happy holidays. We won't see you until after Thanksgiving.
After Thanksgiving. Yes, happy Turkey Day, everybody.
Yes, happy Turkey Day. Absolutely.
And hopefully you're not haunted by the ghost
eat.
Of some...
Eat
turkey
your
wrong.
Fill of turkey and fall asleep on the couch.
And this may get me in trouble, but be safe and be vigilant out there. Trust your gut. Trust your paranormal instinct.
Absolutely.
If you think something's wrong, don't get into that situation.
Yes, yes. It's always best to leave a situation or what you think might be a situation than to confront it and be sorry for it.
Be very careful out there on the day after Thanksgiving and December 7th.
Yes.
Stay safe.
And a moment of silence that the Bengals freaking lost to the Texans last night.
Oh, isn't that a shame?
On that note, I'll close out with some funeral music.
The Chargers lose to everybody every Sunday.
This is another one that we got down. I'm Peter Leonard. Thank you very much. I love you.
I'm Michael Perillo.
I'm Steve Roscoe. Stay spooky and stay safe.
And we say Merry Christmas.
See you in 2 weeks.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky.